Usually when you realize your business needs automation, there's this expectation of finding a really clear, straightforward solution. Like you can literally see your team drowning in repetitive admin work.
Oh, yeah, just copying and pasting data all day.
Exactly. Moving files around, taking things from a CRM into an email. So you go
Oh.
online to find out what it costs to just, automate the pain away. But instead of a clear price tag, you are hit with this absolute wall of request, a quote, forms.
Which is the worst?
It really is. And when you finally do pry some numbers out of these companies, the ranges are just wild. Like one developer tells you it's 500 pounds, the next agency tells you it's 20,000 pounds. It's incredibly frustrating, and honestly, it's just totally opaque.
Yeah, it feels less like shopping for a professional business service and more like, I don't know, throwing darts at a board in the dark.
Right.
But there is actually a very specific reason for that massive discrepancy. When a business asks, how much does automation cost, they are actually asking about four entirely different financial commitments at once. And mixing them up is what creates that chaotic spread of quotes and ultimately breaks the budget.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I think most people assume cost just means the invoice you pay the developer to build the thing.
Yeah.
And we really need to strip away that assumption completely.
Absolutely.
And today, we actually have the data to do it. For this deep dive, we've got our hands on a massive 2026 data set from Automation Hire. We are talking about real-world rates from over 500 verified UK specialists, plus actual project data from more than 2,400 UK businesses who have built these systems.
It's a gold mine of information, really.
It is. We are going to look at what buyers are actually paying right now, starting with how we even define that cost in the first place.
Right. So if we look at the total cost of ownership, or TCO, it actually rests on four distinct pillars. First, there's the build cost. That is the one-off labor you just mentioned, paying a specialist to design, write, and ship the workflow.
Makes sense.
Second, you have tool subscriptions. That's the recurring monthly fee you pay to platforms like Zapier, Make.com, or NAN just for the privilege of running the workflow. Third is maintenance. I mean, the internet is fundamentally unstable. APIs change, software updates, connections break. You have to pay someone to keep the lights on. And the fourth pillar,
Paid on is internal time.
wait, internal time? I mean, if I'm a business owner and I'm already paying my team a salary, why on earth is that considered an extra cost in an automation project? Think about it like buying a house. If I buy a newly built turnkey house, the price of the house is the price of the house. I shouldn't be charged an extra fee just for living in it. I get that. You bought the turnkey house, yes. But who is spending three full weekends moving all the heavy furniture into it, unpacking the boxes, setting up the utilities, and arranging the rooms?
Well, me, I guess.
Right, you are. In automation, a typical small to medium enterprise project takes about 4 to 8 hours of your internal team's time. I mean, a developer can write the code, but they don't know the nuances of how your specific sales team qualifies a lead.
I see.
Your staff has to sit on scoping calls, explain their daily routines, make decisions, run tests, and then finally approve the workflows.
Okay, so it's not necessarily cash leaving the business bank account right then, but it's an opportunity cost. Like, while my head of sales is testing an automated email sequence, they aren't closing deals.
Exactly. And if your team's loaded cost, so their salary, benefits, overhead is around 40 to 60 pounds an hour, you are looking at 160 to 480 pounds of internal time that the project plan absolutely never priced in. When you pull someone off their primary job to map out an automation stack, that is a very real, tangible cost to the business. You have to budget for the disruption before you even look at a developer's hourly rate.
Okay, so now that you have a mental model of those four separate buckets of cost, so the build, the subscription, the maintenance, and your team's time, let's dig into that first and most visible bucket. Let's decode the upfront build cost and those hourly rates, because the Automation Hire data set reveals some fascinating benchmarks here.
It really does. Looking across those 500 UK providers, the one-off labor cost ranges from 50 to 95 pounds per hour, but the median, the sweet spot where the vast majority of the market sits, is right at 65 to 70 pounds an hour. But buying raw hours is dangerous because it leaves the final cost completely open-ended.
Naturally, most businesses don't want to buy hours. They want to buy a finished outcome. Like they want to say, here's my bottleneck, fix it for a guaranteed price.
Right, which is why fixed scope project pricing has become the standard. And those tiers are actually remarkably stable. On the low end, 500 to 900 pounds buys you one or two simple linear workflows. Think of a basic form to CRM sync.
Like a contact form on a website.
Exactly. A customer fills out a type form on your website, and their details automatically populate in HubSpot. Plus, it maybe triggers a calendar booking link. It's straightforward and takes maybe 2 to 5 days to build.
But the data shows that 60% of all first-time projects actually fall into the 900 to 3,000 pound band. This is where things get a bit more sophisticated, right?
Yeah, much more.
For that price, you are buying your core business engine. We are talking 3 to 5 connected workflows with what developers call branching logic.
And just to clarify branching logic, that means the automation makes decisions based on conditions. So if the customer buys product A, send them down email sequence A and notify the warehouse. But if they buy product B, send email sequence B and alert a totally different supplier. You are paying for workflows that can handle variables and, crucially, handle errors without crashing the whole system.
And if you want to push into the highly complex business-critical builds, the price jumps again. We are talking 3,000 to 6,000 pounds for something like a custom AI agent designed for inbound-led qualification or building FCA-compliant reporting pipelines for a financial firm.
Oh yeah, compliance adds a lot of weight.
Definitely. And at the very top, enterprise migrations like moving a massive company entirely off Zapier and onto a private server run 6,000 to 12,000 pounds or more.
You also have to understand the mechanics of what pushes an hourly rate toward that top end 95 pound mark. It essentially comes down to 3 factors. First, tool specialism. If you need a developer who builds in NAN, Microsoft Power Automate, or craps AI agents using large language models, you are paying a 10 to 25% premium over a standard Zapier build.
Because it's harder to find.
Exactly. The talent pool is simply smaller and more technical. Second is industry experience. If you are an FCA-regulated fintech, you are happily paying 20% more for someone who already understands financial data compliance. And third, verified results. Platform certifications and named case studies give a developer the leverage to charge more.
I do want to highlight a massive red flag in this pricing data, though. Anything quoted below 500 pounds. If someone is offering to build your business automation for 200 pounds, the scope is either dangerously vague or the specialist is just racing to the bottom with a price they simply can't sustain.
Yeah, that is almost always going to end in tears.
Right. It almost always results in half-finished, undocumented code.
It's guaranteed technical debt. You will end up paying someone else 1,000 pounds later just to untangle the 200-pound mess.
There is another assumption I want to test here regarding location. If I am running a scaling business based in central London, shouldn't I be hiring a London-based agency to get the absolute best talent? Like, aren't I paying for premium quality when I pay those London rates?
Well, the data set strongly corrects that assumption.
Really?
Yeah. UK automation work is overwhelmingly remote. The nature of building cloud-based workflows means physical presence offers zero technical advantage. A specialist living in London only charges a 5 to 10% premium at most over a specialist of the exact same caliber living in Manchester, Edinburgh, or Bristol.
Wow, that's it.
That's it. If a London agency is quoting you double the regional rate for the exact same scope of work, you are not paying for a superior automation build. You are paying for their expensive office lease in Soho.
That is a brutal truth for the London agencies, but an incredibly valuable metric for the buyer. Okay, so you've navigated the hourly rates, you've avoided the overly cheap red flags, and you've paid the upfront build cost for this beautiful, shiny new workflow. But no matter how perfectly you scope the build, the developer hands it over, and tomorrow, it actually has to process real data.
That's when the real fun begins.
Right. This brings us to the recurring tool costs and the hidden traps waiting to blow up your budget.
This is where we shift from the one-off build cost to the recurring subscriptions pillar. The automation platform keeps charging you forever, and the pricing architecture varies wildly depending on your volume. We are primarily talking about platforms like Zapier, Make.com, and NNN.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the dataset highlights something called the volume trap. Let's break down how this actually works.
Okay, so the volume trap is the single biggest mistake growing operations make. Zapier, for instance, charges you based on the number of tasks you run. Think of it like a toll bridge. Every single time a piece of data crosses the bridge, every email sent, every CRM update, you pay a toll.
Okay.
If you are a UK business running a high volume of tasks, say 50,000 or more tasks per month, that toll bridge on Zapier's team tier is going to cost you £480 or more every single month.
But if you run that exact same volume on a self-hosted NAN setup, the financial model is entirely different.
completely different. Self-hosting N8N is like renting the bridge itself instead of paying the toll. The software license is £0, and you only pay £60 to £200 a month for the server hosting. Whether you run one car over that bridge or a million cars over that bridge, your server cost barely fluctuates.
So doing the math on that, if you are stuck on Zapier at high volume, you're paying £4,500 to £5,500 more per year for the exact same outcome. And sure, migrating all your workflows off Zapier and onto an N8N server might cost you £1,500 to £4,000 in one-off developer fees. But because you stop paying that massive monthly toll, the migration pays for itself in just 3 to 9 months.
And this raises an important question about the free tiers, actually. Many businesses try to avoid the volume trap by just staying on free plans. Mm-hmm. Like Zapier has a free tier limited to 100 tasks a month and only two-step workflows. Make.com offers a free tier of 1,000 operations a month.
Using those free tiers for a real revenue-generating business is like going to the grocery store, taking one of those tiny plastic sample cups of cheese and trying to cater a 200-person wedding with it.
Right. That is exactly what it's like.
It might look like free food, but the second your business actually scales, or you have a busy Tuesday afternoon with a spike in sales, you exceed that tiny task cap.
And when that 200-person wedding runs out of cheese, your entire sales operation simply stops dead in its tracks. The platform just shuts off the workflow until you upgrade or the month rolls over. It is not a credible long-term plan.
But the subscription itself is just one layer. The dataset identifies 6 hidden costs that catch buyers by surprise, and we need to clarify what these actually mean. The first one is subscription tier upgrades on your other software.
Right, because your automation specialist might build a workflow, assuming you have HubSpot Professional. But if you only pay for HubSpot Starter, you are going to hit what's called an API rate limit. Think of an API rate limit like a bouncer at a club.
Okay, I like that.
HubSpot Starter only lets a small number of data requests through the door per minute. If your new automation tries to send 500 requests at once, the bouncer steps in, blocks the traffic, and your workflow crashes. You end up having to upgrade your HubSpot subscription just to let the automation run, which is an extra cost you didn't anticipate.
Then there are the AI token costs.
Yeah.
Everyone wants AI in their business right now, you know, summarizing emails, drafting responses. But AI isn't priced like normal software. It's priced in tokens, which is essentially paying by the syllable.
Yeah, that catches a lot of people off guard.
If you are processing 1,000 customer emails a month using a heavy, complex model like GPT-4, that's an extra £15 to £60 a month in API charges alone. If you just switch to a lightweight model like GPT-4 Mini or Claude Haiku, it does the exact same summarizing job, but it's 5 to 10 times cheaper.
You also have to watch out for webhook fees. A webhook is just a way for one app to instantly notify another app that something happened, like a bell ringing when a customer buys something. Some CRMs actually charge you a premium subscription just to turn that bell on.
And then there's the data cleanup. This is the silent killer of automation budgets. Let me paint a picture for you. You want to automate your customer outreach, but your current CRM contact list has 12,000 duplicate entries because your sales team has been manually entering messy data for 3 years.
Well, I've seen this so many times.
If you build a pristine, perfect automation on top of that messy data, the automation doesn't magically know it's messy. All it will do is faithfully, rapidly process 12,000 completely duplicate workflow runs.
It's the classic rule. Garbage, multiply it at machine speed. You will blow through your monthly task limit in a single afternoon just emailing the same people twice. The data shows it typically costs £400 to £1,500 as a separate line item just to have a specialist clean and deduplicate your data before the automation build even begins.
So what does this all mean? Choosing the cheapest upfront build, ignoring your data quality, and picking the wrong subscription tier means you are essentially paying a permanent tax on your company's growth. You might save £500 on the developer today, but the architectural mistakes will cost you £5,000 a year forever.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it leads us directly to the reality of keeping this machinery running. I mean, no matter how perfectly you clean your data or map your subscriptions, the internet is not static.
Right.
Passwords expire, third-party tools update their code, and the moment that happens, your perfect automation stops. So the next logical question for a business owner is, well, who do you call when it breaks?
Let's look at the maintenance landscape. Specifically, the reality of agencies versus freelancers. The data set shows that for the exact same scope of work, a UK automation agency will charge 1.5 to 3 times more than an experienced freelancer.
Yeah, it's a huge jump.
For example, Building an AI lead qualification agent will cost you about 2,400 to 3,500 pounds with a freelancer. That exact same agent built by an agency is 5,000 to 9,000 pounds.
Right.
I have to stop you there.
Okay.
You're saying an agency charges 9,000 pounds for the exact same AI agent a freelancer will build for 3,000.
Huh?
Why would any rational business owner ever choose the agency? That sounds like a total ripoff.
It absolutely sounds like a massive premium, but the data explains why it exists. The premium you pay an agency is for infrastructure that a single freelancer simply cannot guarantee.
Like what?
Well, imagine you are a massive e-commerce enterprise. If your automated Shopify returns process goes down for just 1 hour on Black Friday, it might cost you 10,000 pounds and lost revenue and customer support chaos.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a nightmare.
Exactly. If you are that enterprise, you don't care about saving 3,000 pounds on the initial build. You pay the 3x premium for the agency's guaranteed service level agreement, their SLA. You are paying for redundancy. If one developer gets sick, another one steps in immediately. You are paying for formal handover documentation and a dedicated project manager. You aren't buying better code, you are buying incredibly cheap insurance.
But that makes total sense when the stakes are that high.
Yeah.
But what if you aren't a massive enterprise? What happens when you just need an emergency fix on a random Tuesday and you don't have a contract in place?
An emergency fix from a specialist you don't have an active relationship with will cost you 100 to 300 pounds a pop. If you are doing that twice a month, you are burning money. At that point, the data indicates you should be on a retainer.
In looking at those retainers, there is a light tier, which runs 300 to 600 pounds a month. That gives you 4 to 8 hours of monitoring, patching broken connections, and making small tweaks. It perfectly suits a standard business running 5 to 15 live workflows.
There is also a middle option that most buyers completely miss. You don't have to choose between a basic monitor and an expensive agency. You can hire a senior freelancer on a part-time retainer. For 600 to 900 pounds a month, you can secure 8 to 12 hours of senior-level automation work. You get faster turnaround times than a mid-tier agency, and you pay half the price.
Okay, so you've budgeted for your internal time, you've scoped the build, you've picked the right tools to avoid the volume trap, and you've set up your maintenance retainer. But the most crucial question for your business is, when does this actually start putting money back into the bank?
The math on payback is actually much simpler than most consultants make it sound. Across the data set, the typical UK SME automation project recovers its entire cost in 3 to 6 months purely through saved labor. Let's walk through a very typical worked example using Make.com to see how the mechanics of this ROI actually function.
Let's break it down.
Okay, so you pay a one-off build cost of 1,400 pounds to a specialist. Your recurring Make.com subscription is 35 pounds a month. The workflow they build automatically extracts invoice data and routes it to your accounting software, saving your admin team 9 hours of manual data entry every single week.
That's a lot of time.
It is. If your loaded labor cost for that employee is 28 pounds an hour, you are saving 1,092 pounds a month in labor costs. Subtract the 35-pound tool cost, and your net monthly saving is 1,057 pounds. At that rate, your 1,400-pound upfront build breaks even in about 1.3 months.
It completely shifts the perspective.
Yeah.
You aren't buying a 1,400-pound software product. You are buying back 36 hours of human capacity every single month. And the case studies in this data set back this up with real businesses.
Oh, yeah, the results are fantastic.
Take the Edinburgh Marketing Agency that built an AI lead research agent. The build cost was 2,800 pounds, the result. The AI personalized their outreach so effectively that they saw a 3.4x lift in cold email response rates, driving an estimated 42,000 pounds in annual revenue impact. The payback period was under 1 month.
Or consider the professional services firm in Leeds. They spent 8,500 pounds over 4 months to build a comprehensive operations program, automated document routing, instant client updates, seamless onboarding. It completely absorbed the administrative workload of 2.5 full-time employees.
That's incredible.
And they didn't have to fire anyone. They just didn't have to make any new administrative hires as they grew. Payback on that 8,500 pounds was achieved in just 4 months.
But to be fair to the data, we also have to look at when automation fails to deliver an ROI, because it's not a magic wand. There are three common failure patterns here. First, the volume is simply too low. If a trigger only fires 12 times a year, do not pay a developer to automate it. The general rule of thumb is a task needs to occur at least 20 times a month to mathematically justify the build cost.
That's a good rule.
Second, you chose the wrong tool, and the subscription fees eat your margins. And third, and this might be the most important, automating a process that is not yet scalable.
That is the ultimate trap. If you automate a broken, chaotic, manual process, you aren't fixing it. The automation doesn't organize the chaos, it just executes it faster. You are freezing a broken version of your business in code so it fails at machine speed. Wait until the manual version of your process is repeatable and documented for 2 consecutive months before you write a single line of code.
So the biggest mistake isn't necessarily overpaying for the build, it's automating something that shouldn't be automated yet.
What's fascinating here is the data reveals a hidden compounding effect once you do get it right. Your first workflow might take 3 to 6 months to pay back, but your second workflow, built with the same specialist, is typically 15 to 25% cheaper.
Why is that?
Because they already understand your API limits, your data structures, and the quirks of your business logic. The relationship itself becomes a compounding asset. You aren't paying for discovery twice.
That is a phenomenal insight. The relationship is an asset. Okay, to summarize the core takeaways for you today so you can navigate this space with absolute confidence. First, always get a written, fixed scope before you pay a single pound. Do not buy raw hours.
Absolutely.
Second, buy the cheapest tool architecture that fits your task volume. Remember the toll bridge versus renting the bridge, not just the platform with the biggest marketing budget. Third, aggressively budget for your own internal team's time and for cleaning your messy data before the build begins. Building a workflow isn't just a one-off IT expense. It is a compounding investment in your company's operational leverage.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Throughout this deep dive, we've talked entirely about saving time and money by automating the things your team already does. But think about this. What happens when the marginal cost of execution drops to near zero? Instead of asking, how can automation do our current administrative tasks cheaper? Ask yourself, what is a wildly unscalable, hyper-personalized experience for your customers that is currently humanly impossible to execute, but suddenly becomes entirely possible tomorrow with a 1,500-pound AI agent?
That is such a powerful way to reframe the entire conversation. It's not just about doing the old things cheaper. It's about doing entirely new things that were impossible yesterday. We started today looking at a chaotic wall of forms and wild price quotes, and hopefully we've unpacked the mechanics behind those numbers and given you the map to navigate right through them. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration. Keep asking those big questions, and we will see you on the next deep dive.